SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Enough! Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
From Churchill Downs, 1 week from Kentucky Oaks and Derby weekend. Good morning. Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964 if you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website as well, stevebeck.com. And a busy morning here. We'll certainly go through some of the big names, and not just the big names. Don't want to limit or diminish the chances of some of the longer prices when it comes to the Oaks and Derby participants. But day one, essentially, of the big two today and tomorrow, as everybody makes their final preparations, and as much as you look forward to these. A couple of days. For the most part this morning, it felt like, I don't want to say going through the motions, but nobody was being asked to do too much. As we explained a couple of weeks ago, the last 2 weeks are when you lean on them, if you need to lean on them. And actually, interestingly, if you didn't see yesterday, the video. In fact, we're going to talk to Gary Young in a little bit, but the video from California where Medina Spirit had his last work, and when it comes to not being afraid to send a horse on a 1 mile workout, Baffert, he just asks them for more. And if you didn't see Medina Spirit's workout, pull it up, XBTV, and I think I retweeted it. In fact, I know I did. He looked very good, and I'm gonna let Gary. I mean, Gary obviously bought him, and he'll his client, of course, Zidane Racing. He'll talk about him because he's so atypical of Baffert. Classic types, he's a blue collar price, obviously, the part of that conversation we had the other day with Sid. So you'll get more on Medina Spirit from Gary Young this morning. And Gary also, as I promised yesterday, in anticipation of Gary being back from Ocala, we'll get a sales report as well. And Gary got shut out. I was watching, and not always, sometimes you don't necessarily see the names of every obvious buyer on the purchase line, but I was getting the sense that after 2 days that he hadn't bought anything. And indeed, I said to him, how'd you make out? He said, I got shut out. And we'll talk a little bit with Gary about the sale. A solid day, not as flashy as Wednesday at the sale, but there's actually a very strong middle market. Surprisingly, it wasn't as much of a top end sale, it seems, 3 days into it. It seems like the more there was a fatter middle this go around, and Gary said he's got to press on to Timonium, and in fact the Timonium catalog went online yesterday. I kind of thumbed through it myself. We tried day one to get a filly, couldn't make it happen afterward. Kind of got sold before we got back to try to make arrangements, and then a very similar type that we were looking at yesterday. We had a budget of about 40, and Tom Ventura was bidding for us, and the horse sold for $105,000. I was like, oh my God. I mean, it got to 30 and it paused. I thought, all right, we got a shot. And then the next thing I knew, it was up to 70. Said, that's it. Sorry, Tom. Thank you. He said, keep trying. So I don't know. We got maybe, we'll see. We'll see if maybe we bring, you know, still got time, still got Timonium, and you still got the June sale. Anyway, not to get distracted, we'll talk some OBS results with Gary, but we'll talk mostly his early impressions. And, you know, the way Gary Young frames the approach to Derby, it invariably, you know, he's got a handful of horses he thinks that you concentrate on and are, you know, the way more likely win candidates, and then from there it fans out. So anxious as always to hear from Gary. We've already heard from Mike Welch a little bit, and then next week, after all the works are in the books, it'll be just a matter of, you know, who has got the nice energy and who comes up to the weekend in the best shape. The works this morning, nice mix actually of fillies and males. And I was trying to do a video. It was a little, got a little chilly here actually. It's funny, that interesting weather phenomenon where it's, you know, seemingly warm at 5 a.m. and then when the sun starts to come up, it gets cold. And people have explained this before when it's come up, but that's exactly what you had today. I was out there and I tried to do a live video through the training session. I thought it'd be fun, but the action actually was not frenetic. There was a nice steady beat of horses working, but you know, I was making a list as they came out, and you know, had the names of who might, you know, who was expected. And then it just, you know, it's hard to keep up. And, you know, you're watching through the screen and you're trying to, you know, you're trying to discern who it is. And there's a few, you know, there's a few that are easy to spot. The you know, the Pletcher horses with Pletcher's white pad, pretty easy. Chad has got his workers, his exercise riders have got the cap, the white and blue cap. So it's, fairly clear. Cassie with the splash of red. There's always, you know, typically black and red or red and white jackets and such. And, of course, watching Soup and Sandwich is very easy because he's a distinctive gray and you see the red. So anyway, I've got like a 4 minute, I got a 4 minute video, and I, the signal here, the Wi-Fi looked like it gave out a few times. And so it's not the most fluid. I won't do that tomorrow, I don't think. Try to do a live feed. And actually, Kevin Kirstein is doing such a nice job with his, you know, with his 30-second flourishes down the lane, that, you know, my ham-handed attempts are I don't think it's all that helpful. But I mentioned Chad, search results and Dunbar Road, and, you know, kind of notable today, there were a couple of horses, including Travel Column early in the earliest set when the track opened this morning. There were a couple of horses that were paired up with high level foes, you know. Trainers have different philosophies when it comes to this. And so, you know, some come out and, you know, they're evenly matched. Some come out and the principal horse, you know, is, you know, working with a horse that it can keep up, but isn't necessarily, you know, the sternest test. But then you have a situation when you got so many stars in a barn. You got a situation like this where Search Results is paired up with Dunbar Road. So the two of them were together, and Dunbar, you know, Dunbar was, you know, eager, and they were going easy. I mean, the officially it's a 5/8 work and 102 and change. So as you might've heard me say, it didn't seem like anybody was, you know, was really being leaned on by any stretch. But not only, you know, did Dunbar, you know, really make, you know, Search stay with her. There was also early the travel column had to face off against that very nice Louisiana bred, who I think last time I checked, was still undefeated. Australasia. And that was early this morning. And Australasia, you know, really, I thought, was heads up with her. So beyond that, you had Known Agenda out. And Known Agenda's made a really nice impression. He was with paired up with Sainthood. Dynamic One for Todd worked against Prime Factor. So, you know, not as, you know, big a pairing in terms of, you know, two Derby horses. And Malathat, too. Malathat, who I think is the filly to beat. She worked with Gazali. Soup and Sandwich with Peace Achieved, who, of course, is a stake filly. As well. So it was a active, you know, 15, 18 minutes when it came to the training session this morning. You also had, you know, some of the hangers on and some that are, you know, hoping to get in. Starn in My Dreams was out there for Dallas. King Fury, who, you know, is awaiting those final decisions. And the key final decisions expected here over the next, you know, couple of days, really, through the weekend, whether Get Her Number, Peter Miller waiting, and Gary Barber waiting for a work tomorrow at St. Louis Ray before they make a final commitment to come. And, of course, Dream Shake, who, the rumors continue to indicate that they're leaning more Pat Day Mile than Derby. But when I reached out to Peter Urton on Wednesday, he said no decision, period. And so those two waiting for official word. So those are your last two elements. And Kenny McPeak waiting with King Fury. He would need at least right now the two defections, because Hozier jumped back in at the quarter pole the other day. So there's your situation as it stands right now. If and, you know, Hozier was supposed to work this morning and didn't, or at least we didn't see him. It's pretty easy to spot the Baffert horses with the blue and gold saddlecloth. Concert Tour was out, and Concert Tour just working his way along, and looks fine. I know there was some concerns that people thought, well, maybe there's a problem. He doesn't look like there's any problem with him. Just that, you know, they made the decision not to participate next Saturday. So anyway, we'll get more of that, and we'll get some Gary Young observations when it comes to the works. Also earlier this morning, Helium was out, and Helium didn't go fast, but an important work, you would think. Helium, you know, coming into this with the longest break out of the Tampa Bay Derby, so plenty of this ahead this morning. And if you've been watching the Derby Work Show, 7 to 8, and if you can't see it live, you can go and watch the replay, and you can watch, you know, as many days as you want. And as I sent out the other day, you can use that, the video center, KentuckyDerby.com video center, which is got everything. It'll have all these works where you can just click on the little purple circle, and it'll take you right to the, it'll show you the work. All right. Some of the news and some of the racing portion of the conversation before we start to get into the weekend. And there's lots of good, really a very good weekend, and kind of a far flung weekend when you consider, our first conversation will be with Chris Katulak at Fahner, with the force out tomorrow of the pick five as their season nears a conclusion. But with the start, of course, of the Belmont meet yesterday and Pimlico, which now is going to maintain the racing for Maryland, is going to carry the mantle here for a while as this track renovation project is going to apparently press, you know, through all of May. That saw that word yesterday. So Pimlico, hi-ho. And they got started yesterday. I saw Jerry Robb win a pair. What else? Lone Star, of course, got underway yesterday, too. So kind of that spring transition. And you'll also note, I don't know if we'll get a chance to talk to anybody, but Finger Lakes kicks off on Monday. They got their first card scheduled and ready to go. So spring and summer seemingly upon us, right? With those changes. And of course, you know, yesterday at Belmont, we should mention you had that incident in the nightcap. And from what we can gather, Dave Grenig got here and word seems to be that everybody is okay out of that incident that sent Junior Alvarado and Manny Franco and Pablo Fragoso in all directions. This it seems like this, knock on wood, could have been a lot worse. Good news. The first, I know Manny and Junior, I think the word came back pretty quickly. Pablo Fragoso, we have not heard any more about. I'll try to get or see if Dave has got anything more to offer. But the start of the season, a couple of really good performances, actually. Bill Mott with a pair of wins on the day, and that Aunt Cat, Uncle Mo filly yesterday, the sprint. That was pretty impressive for Carl Pollard. Yeah, that was a nice effort. And actually, our friend Lee Einsiedler won the opener. So Mott with a pair of wins. Chad with a pair of wins, too, on the day. So that got things going in New York. And I mentioned Pimlico, Claudio Gonzalez with a pair, as well as Jerry Robb. And track looked great. Look ready for ready for Preakness, but there's going to be obviously a lot more racing to be done at Pimlico. Keeneland wraps up today, of course, and we have opening night at Churchill. Now, the weather situation here is a little distressing. Going to be apparently a rough weekend weather-wise, and so hopefully that. And I haven't checked it again this morning, but hopefully it does not affect the works for tomorrow and everybody can get in a final prep for Derby Oaks on a dry track. But, it's close to 100%. Yeah, they don't expect the rain to start tomorrow until late morning, midday. So, and actually, you know what? It's actually moderated somewhat since I looked at it last. In fact, now it's down to half an inch of rain expected. So it's not as problematic as it had first appeared. Yesterday at Keeneland, it really did prove out that being worried about Wesley Ward's two-year-olds, it wasn't necessary. Holy cow. Wesley with two more yesterday. He had the Macho Uno filly, Golden Bell, an easy winner with Johnny, and Rosario in the opener yesterday. Ruthin, this a Stone Street runner, and a Ribchester filly for Stone Street. And Rosario won easily. 3-5. Wesley, everybody has gotten very much aboard. 4-5 and 3-5 on those two winners yesterday. Vicky Oliver. How about Vicky Oliver, who's getting ready to saddle her first Derby starter in Hidden Stash? And Vicky with a pair yesterday of wins. And by the way, speaking of winners, Rich Ang, Blue Steel. Blue Steel got bet down to 4-1. And it's funny, I realized later, you know, I thought, boy, 8-1 down to 4-1. But listen, nothing wrong with 960, frankly. But Rich's push was also a play, apparently, for Matt Carruthers. And I saw that Gus later on, I saw Gus had also picked Blue Steel. So the 8-1 horse, that price attracted a lot of interest. And if you played, you cashed. I should also note, Daddy is a Legend yesterday. Took a lot of money and won at 3-2 for George Weaver and the Hills. And nice, kind of surprised that she's back, actually. I'd heard that she was going to stay in training. She's 6 years old. And very accomplished. So the Hills are obviously, you know, Jim and Susan Hill having fun, and they want to let her, you know, listen, they only have one baby a year, right? So if you're in that mindset, enjoy them again on the racetrack for another season. And that's what they're doing. So good to see her back. We're going to get started. Let me set up the shop for what's going on today. And Gary Young will join us in about 20-25 minutes. Chris Katulak's going to join us first from Fauner Park. And Kay, let me send you, he wants to call the office rather than the phone. So let me give you that one, and we'll get Chris Katulak in here, and we'll talk about the Fauner season winding down and the force out on the Dinsdale Auto Group Pick 5. All right. There you go. Chris Katulak. We'll also talk and get the latest on Conquest Big E from Chris. He's got, you know, the current scenario. You know, we talked about it yesterday with Sean Clancy. And it's funny. I'll bring it up with Ed DeRosa. I thought Ed had a very salient point and really, you know, kind of mirrored, echoed what Sean said and you know, kind of my feelings as well about it. But we'll get the yes case now. Yeah. And we'll get the latest. All right. And then we'll handicap, run through the pick. I know that I think Ed actually, I'm not sure if Ed or James is one of them looked at the pick five. So we'll get the Fauner look from one of them. And, you know, obviously the carryover force out is part of the story, but they've got a very nice, for $75,000, they put together a very nice group in the feature, in the Pump and Pantry, the Gus Fauner. $75,000 feature, and Sleepy Eyes Todd shows up at Fauner Park, which is kind of cool. All right, Case. Then I guess here. Then call him on the. I guess we'll call him on the cell then, if that's a problem. Amazing. Yeah. Here, I'll give you the other one. And I'm sure he's got. I know he's got a busy. You know, this situation with the horse. I think it's created, you know, it really was not what the focus that Chris Katulak was hoping for. As we wait for Chris, give you the rundown too. Scully and Hammer, we'll get out to Hammer and we'll talk to him. A quiet weekend at Oaklawn as they start to wind down. But we'll check in with Rick, Ed DeRosa, Nick Tamaro. We'll go through the pace. We'll start to do our pace projections. Nick has got the strata, and we'll figure out how we think things will unfold, you know, barring any extreme draw issues. I'm going to talk to Brian Sanfratello, too, from Pennsylvania. A couple of nice Pennsylvania-bred stakes Tuesday at Parks. And the first stakes action for Chris Griffin to call. And we'll get an update because, of course, Pennsylvania, once again, the team in Harrisburg trying to assault the development program, the development funds. And so we'll get that update from Brian. Right now, Chris Katulak, though, we go out to Grand Island. And certainly, when we think back a year and everything that Fowler Park was able to do to help keep horse fans and horse players, keep them occupied, entertained, and interested, the hearts and minds that were won, will be a lasting tribute to what Fowler Park was able to achieve last year. Chris, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. Yes, there are quite a few bullet points along the last 365 days here at the little track that could Fowler Park. It's gone from watching horses go down the stretch with absolutely no one in the grandstand except for a smattering of grooms and horsemen on the apron and a couple of cars parked on the apron to watch, like a drive-in movie, to me for 6 weeks standing out in front of the main clubhouse doors with a mask on, welcoming people, reminding them that they must wear a mask, to finally springtime that has sprung and we've got a glorious-looking infield now, and the return of Sleepy Eyes Todd. So where's the whiteboard? We got to draw this one up for 2022. It's going to be tough to fall over the last couple of years.
And before we talk about the late stages here of the season, how have you done? I checked a couple of different times to see what kind of handle you were attracting.
But for us and a handful of other tracks. But I spent a little money, a little marketing money to try to see if we could ride that wave. And we have. People are betting Fowler Park like they bet Parks or Indiana Downs or Emerald Downs or Hawthorne or Oaklawn. You know, it's just another track. And that's mission accomplished as far as I'm concerned.
That's tremendous. When you added to the season, when you put that coda on and you were able to, to get a couple of extra points from the signal merchants. Part of that, though, the condition was that it would revert to the original, to your original contract terms. Do you feel that this kind of a year provides you with some leverage going forward? How does that play?
I maybe it could. We have reverted back to the 3 cents on every dollar, of which we split half of that. 1.5 goes to the HBPA for purse money. So, Fowler Park gets 1.5 cents per every dollar bet off track that we need to use to improve our aging facility and make payroll and market and, do all that other stuff. So would we rather be splitting 20 cents on a dollar with the on-track money that was bet? Sure. Or even a higher rate? Sure. But, I realize what we are. We are not Churchill. We're not Saratoga. We're not Santa Anita. And we'll just keep chugging along at what we're doing right now. What's the expression? Pigs get fat, hogs get slaughtered. So we're in a good zone right now.
Well, a couple of things as we look and talk about the really nice card tomorrow, and of course you'll attract, I imagine, five, six times the carryover number on the pick five, but a story bubble to the surface for today and even in advance of tomorrow. And it involves Conquest Big E, you know, veteran gelding caught the attention of people that when they saw him in the entries. And, it's a complex topic and debate that I think, actually people have had, quite pleasantly, and there's been a good exchange of, ideas and philosophy about this these last few days. But bring everybody up to speed, Chris, on where things stand right now and about him running today and how that'll play out.
Sure, yeah, I'm happy to speak about it also. First of all, the welfare of any horse, be it Conquest, Big E, the horse in question now, or any horse that steps onto our racetrack, is my number one concern. Full stop, that's it. And it's, I know it's also the current concern of you and Ray Pollack, and there are a number of other watchdogs out there in our industry, and I really appreciate that, and I appreciate it even more if it's handled in a wise and professional and reasonable manner, and for the most part, it has been. But I saw what started to percolate yesterday on social media, primarily Twitter. I don't do much of Facebook. But anyway, I watched it, and I went down to the racing office, and I checked on some things, and the horse is in complete compliance with what the requirements are, needing to have the two works after the extended layoff. I visited with our track veterinarian, who I said, "Look, let's be on some hyper alert with this horse. Let's make sure you please give him extra attention." And he goes, our veterinarian does, he goes above and beyond routinely anyway, and so he agreed and he understood. And then I kind of started to see more of what was going on social media, and Gainesway Farm got brought into this. So I called Gainesway Farm and left a message, and Gainesway returned my call, and we had a nice visit. And I don't want to get into the particulars of the sort of the business end of what is going to happen with this horse, just as you wouldn't want to share on air what your rates are for charging for advertising, or if you bought a car from Tom Dinsdale Chevrolet, that's the business thing. But I will say this, there is a very good future that is being planned now for Conquest Big E. He will run today in the second race. That's what the trainer's intentions are. Assuming that he passes the vet check this morning and assuming he warms up nicely for the race, we'll expect to see him run. But we'll also expect to see him get claimed out of this race and put into a retirement program. That is the plan as it stands right now.
Well, I appreciate it, and I know each of these is an individual, circumstance, and when you talk about the way this has been discussed, what is frustrating and to me, a little bit unfair and even insulting to some jurisdictions and to a track like Fawner, the process, the regulatory vet process, the on-track veterinarians that inspect pre-race and go over the horses, particularly, I would say, I'd imagine, Chris, for the Fawners and Finger Lakes and Fairmount, etc., very much acutely aware that these are older horses in a lot of cases, and that they run at the lower levels, and so being on alert for a horse, whether it's a graded stake winner late in his career or a horse that's one for 40, that's the one troubling thing about this discussion, is that that there's some assumption that operations like Fawner and Finger Lakes and Fairmount don't deserve to operate. It's preposterous.
Yeah, and you're right. And if you didn't think that Ray Nitschke or Dick Butkus or to be a little more contemporary. Does everybody know who Ray Nitschke is?
small percent, 20, about 25% of the audience.
Or Michael Jordan or Serena Williams. If you don't think that they don't go out on their performance field without being wrapped up or taped up and without a little aches and pains, you know, you're silly. That's not the case. And does it make it more difficult for a track veterinarian at the lower levels of racing, as you described, which is where Fauna Park is? Yes, even more so. They're in a very tough spot. But holy cow, I just adore our vet here and how he handles things and how he goes through the process. And do I wish Conquest Big E was not in a $3,500 claiming race? Yes, YES exclamation mark. But here he is, and if things go within the context of our rules and regulations, then that really is all I can do at this point. My operations assistant, Mark Landis, and I, Mark came with a good idea. We might be thinking of something down the road for next year that will put some sort of guardrails in that we don't get to this kind of a situation. We'll refine that down the road, but we take it very seriously here at Fauna Park, and I'm happy to discuss this, and I think we have discussed it to the best we can, and fingers crossed, and go on from here.
And on that topic, before we look at the card tomorrow, Chris, have you refused entries? Does your racing office, on occasion, say we can't have this horse competing here?
I believe we have. I can't give you the specific context, but I know we have once or twice in the past. You know, whether the horse was a 9-year-old maiden or something like that, or you just know the person might not be in the best interest of your program. We have before. The trainer that has that horse, I looked up his lifetime numbers. He's only started a few horses, but there was a. I watched a guy yesterday who I've never seen before, and I've been on the Nebraska circuit since 79, and I watched him watch a horse breeze, and that horse was moving really nicely. I'm kind of wondering, who is this guy? So anyway, it may not even be the same trainer, but point is, we're watching things, and we're doing everything we can within the scope of how we're supposed to do things here.
Well, as we look toward Saturday, thanks for addressing it, Chris.
We had to
give it the proper attention and discussion. Well, you mentioned Sleepy Eyes Todd, and the feature tomorrow, the Bosselman Pumpin' Pantry, the Gus Fauner 75,000, and came together really nicely, and it really adds even more, more gravitas to this five race sequence that starts in race six. The highlight of the meet, the Gus Fauner.
Yeah, for sure. It's back to 75,000. It dipped down to 50 last year. We'll blame it on COVID, but the Bosselman family stepped up and contributed their 40,000 as they have since 1990 when I called
nice.
The first one when it bumped from 60,000 to 100,000. But first of all, Sleepy Eye Todd, really, he's coming back to defend his title. I thought it was a possibility even after the Pegasus, but any other combination of the Saudi Cup or the Dubai World Cup, I thought, well, for sure, no way. But Miguel Silva, he says, look, the horse is no worse for wear. He's lost a little weight from the traveling, but he says he's eager to run, and he's out here bouncing around. He galloped over the track yesterday. He's going to go today, I think, in about a half hour, so I'll be anxious to see him. So that's one thing that's just sort of a kind of blows your mind, but that we have a full field because we thought for sure it was going to run off a lot of people. But hats off to those that said, you know what, we're gonna do it. I did talk to one trainer. I didn't read him the riot act, but I thought, hey man, Joby, that's his first name. You won't be listed that way in the program, so you can figure out who this is with diligence. But anyway. I said, I thought you were coming. Well, you know, that big gray horse. And I said, look, first of all, you know, is he going to come? And will he run? And what kind of post position will he get? And what kind of race will he run? And anyway, long story short, he's coming now with a horse that can win the race, that kind of a horse. So the outside post position of number 9, that even adds a little more to it. Like, okay, all right, maybe, you know, maybe they're, it's not going to be a walkover by any stretch of the imagination. And you said it, Steve, gravitas for sure. It really adds to the whole day. And with the pick five, fourth out, as you like to call it, let's hope we get there. We've got today before we get to tomorrow as far as the pick five goes.
Well, and of course, you know, it's funny you say that because how often do we see that, some of the pick six scenarios, the jackpot concept. We had so much fun with the force outs last year. And, yeah. and to some degree, Chris, it may be a smaller venue, but you've had big city problems, whether it was DQs or non-DQs some of the things. It just shows that at every level, the challenges, the day-to-day challenges of the business and the game, nobody's immune.
No, it's been like vanilla ice cream compared to last year. With all I was talking to the Sioux, I said, all right, guys, we got two more weeks here. Just hang low. Our infield is literally blooming, the daffodils, the tulips, the whatever those purple things are that are out there. We've got our new fawn emblem out there smack dab in the center. I loved last year when we raced through May because you really got to see this place look like a park, and it's just now starting to get that. So I get a goosebump just talking about it because you got to get out here, Steve. And I will say this. For example, Pete Aiello, the Gulfstream Park announcer, he's going to be here. Well, his dad's going to be here, and his name is Pete Aiello also. But we have had so many people. We just had a guy come from Chicago. He said, man, I had to come after seeing all this stuff. We get requests from people to send them stuff from our gift shop. So we welcome you with open arms. It's a little more delightful to come in April than it is in February. Now, that's my little a little caveat there, or the little traveler's tip.
Well, we heard the same thing from Rick Hammerly, too, by Oaklawn extending their meet. It gives people a chance, beyond, early second week in April, this extra 3 weeks, you actually see the apple blossoms and you actually see what a pleasant and beautiful place Hot Springs can be. Well, Chris, we're going to handicap it later with Ed DeRosa, and I know people will latch on to the nice sequence. Starts at 5 o'clock as well, so late in the afternoon, 5 o'clock Eastern time is the first leg of the pick five, and the feature of the meet, the Gus Fahner, the Bosselman Pump and Pantry, and best of luck getting through the last few days of the season.
Well, thank you for your attention. As always, our friends at TVG are even going to wedge the race in between whatever's going on Saturday afternoon as well. So we're glad with that everybody's going to get a chance to see it. So thank you for being the watchdog. You are, Steve, as well. And bring on the fawn, right?
That's it. Exactly. The fawn and the images all meet, actually, as soon as fans started to throng the place. They love their racing in Nebraska, a great history of the sport in the Cornhusker State, and another excellent season, and in fact, all the good efforts from last year paying dividends this year. Chris Katulak, everybody, and Fahner. We'll talk more later with Ed DeRosa. He'll handicap the pick five for you. Right now, though, Gary Young sitting across from me, and Gary...
Long time no talk.
I know. Oh, I think I had a couple of quick hits over the winter, right?
Yes, yeah, a couple, yes, yes.
Little quiet, the stake racing and the big maiden racing, obviously carried Santa Anita through the season.
Yeah, I mean, here we are in the Derby again, and, they have, Rock Your World and Medina are probably two of the top six or seven of everybody. So, I mean, we do okay in the nationally known races on dirt. We're still very, very formidable in those. We're fighting.
Well, and then you got Phil D'Amato winning every turf stake in the country.
D'Amato and Baltus, they've become pretty much the turf trainers out there.
Crazy.
And yeah, they hold, they more than hold their own when they go elsewhere too. I mean, it's you know, yeah, it's we're hanging in there.
Before we talk about some early impressions here and the overview of Derby and Oaks, you're back from the run at Ocala. And when I saw you earlier this morning, you said exactly what I seem to be noticing. I didn't really look closely yesterday, but the first 2 days of the sale, I said, I don't see Gary's name on a line.
I blanked. I went there and spent 12 days and didn't get a horse bought. It's not what I planned, but... that's how it works out. And, yeah, it's, you know, some days you're the bug and some days you're the windshield, and I was the bug.
You said something interesting, and I actually, in anticipation of the visit, I said to people that the... You've found the top end. You know, we keep hearing about how strong the top is and that the middle market has been, you know, softish. It felt like this has been very good for the middle market, that there was a lot of interesting new sires, you know, first crop sires that are selling well, you know, 250, 350, 450. Interesting. That's a little bit of an interesting dynamic right now. It helps.
Yeah, it was. I mean, you know, obviously Gunrunner has broken very well. He had the big horse in Miami, and Donato bought one for Bob at this sale for a lot of money. But yeah, there was it was a solid group there. You know, the Quality Road. I tried to buy that horse, and you know, he went a little bit more than we wanted to really go for. But you know, we'll go back to, you know, we'll go back to Maryland, see what happens. We've had some luck there, and you know, it's there's a lot of money out there with when they lead the right one in the ring. If they click all the boxes, there's a lot of money out there, as there is for horses that you know, when a horse runs and breaks his maiden or shows promise, there's a lot of money for those horses too. I mean, it's
second, sort of a secondary market.
Yes. You know, but yeah. So here I am back here after a year's absence last year. Everything was different last year, though.
We can even fold that in to some degree in the conversation. The quick hit here, I wouldn't mind. In fact, I can hand this to you. Who do you expect among the runners of these first crop stallions? And we've already got a little bit of a window in from, you know, just the, what, 10 days of Keeneland. And I think we got the first two-year-olds at Gulfstream tomorrow, or we've had a couple. Who among those first crop sires are going to be winning early?
You know, that's a tough call, because Arrogate was obviously a great horse. He didn't make the races that early, and you know, he was obviously, the further they went, the better he got. But
is that actually, I'll bring this up. There may have been a real education for people through this Run Happy scenario, where just because his best part of his career was as a sprinter, people assumed that, oh, they're going to be win early types.
And they're winning routing,
but they're routers, and they're you know, early 3-year-old season development types.
Yeah, I mean they were, you know, the Midnight Storm had some horses that
huge.
I mean, let's face it, he was a very, he had speed, which everyone wants, and he did it on dirt and turf. You know, he had some horses that definitely caught my eye down there. Lord Nelson with a couple of horses that looked okay. There were some first crop sires that definitely, you know, on this list that you showed me right here. Yeah, there was some that definitely showed up. There was a, you know, a Klimt, where one of the Klimts sold well to Kaleem, who owned Klimt, obviously. But yeah, it was a very competitive market. I mean, I didn't think I was going to go down there and get blanked, but I did. You know, so Get the crab cakes ready because I'm heading to Maryland.
Michael's,
the Milton Inn, the Oregon Trail, all the normal spots in Maryland.
Looking forward to getting there too. Gary Young with us, and of course GaryYoungThoroughbreds.com for those that want to have about as good a pair of eyes evaluating talent as there is. Before we talk specific horses and the Derby overview, tell everybody about Zidane, and you know has become obviously a big client for you. You know the approach, how you even you know came to connect with him, and you know what. You know what the excitement level, of course, to bring Medina Spirit here. Tell us some.
Victor Espinosa and his agent Brian Beach are very good friends of mine. Victor has known Mr. Zidane for many years, he decided to get back in the game this year and last year, the first sale, I told him there was a filly that was unbelievable, but she's going to cost a lot of money, and he stepped up and bought her for $1,350,000. So any doubts that anyone might have had that he wasn't serious about going big was immediately out the window there. We got lucky with her, and it was kind of funny. The last sale last year at OBS, it was in July. It's normally in June. It was in July, and COVID wreaked havoc not only with the times of the sale, with the dates of the sale, but you know, it was everything. So I was kind of on the opinion that we were done for the year, and Mr. Zidane said, go down there and see what there is. So I went down there and there was 6 days of previews, and the quality wasn't as deep as it normally was. After 6 days, I think I had like 15 horses on my list to look at. And Mr. Zidane is very good friends with Osama, the guy that owns Samaya US,
right.
and he stands Britannico, Mr. Zidane said to me after the 6 days of previews, he goes, my friend has a horse in that sale by Britannico. I said, yeah, that's one of the 12 horses that made my list. He said, really? I go, yeah. So I went and barn checked him, and he was okay, and we vetted him. My doctor, Dr. Hart, that does all my vetting, he vetted the horse, and he vetted perfectly. And I flew home, and we got on the phone as the horse was in the ring, and we knew we probably weren't going to have to go too deep for him. And we were bidding on the phone, and he got up to $35,000, and no one answered back, so we bought the horse. And we sent him over to Bob Baffert's second string in Los Alamitos that is handled by Mike Marlowe, who does an excellent job with the horses. And Mike started working them, and from the go, he said, this horse definitely shows, he's definitely more than holding his own working with horses that are more expensive, way more expensive than he was. So we brought him over to Santa Anita, and he worked good a couple of times, and then Bob worked him a couple of times with Life is Good. Well, Life is Good was going to outwork anyone he worked with. I mean, he was that wicked of a talent. But rather than shrivel up and become a snail, when Bob worked him after that with normal horses, he went back to more than holding his own with him. We ran him in his debut at Los Alamitos, and the only surprising thing about it was he paid $8 and change. I mean, we expected him to win. He did. And then in the second race, when he ran a very good second to Life is Good in the Sham, it was at that time that we realized, like, you know, this horse is, okay. is really a nice horse, you know. He came back and won the Lewis. We didn't want him on the lead, and the race kind of came up unlike we thought it would, and he wound up inside in a three-horse speed duel and still prevailed in a stretch drive against Hot Rod Charlie, who's turned out to be a very good yep. horse. And, you know, we expect this horse to run his best race on the Kentucky Derby day. Whether that's good enough or not, we're going to find out. But his workouts since the Santa Anita Derby have been very, very, very confidence boosting. And we feel good about the horse. And I think the horse that beat him that day is one of the major contenders in the race, too, Rock Your World. You know, there was some preps this year that maybe didn't look as good as they normally look. But I think right now the Santa Anita Derby might come up a good prep this year. Let's put it that way.
Let's go on with it from that vantage point. Let's survey the big preps. So Medina Spirit and Rock Your World swing down to Arkansas, where we had a certain build up and a certain scenario that was being established, that Concert Tour was going to be able to potentially anoint himself as even the Derby favorite if he performed, to expectation and to hype. And he was dreadful. There's no other way to put it. And we ended up, kind of going sideways out of this. And then there's the whole Caddo River, will he or won't he? And now he will. What happened in that Arkansas Derby, to your perspective?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, at the 2.5 furlong pole, it was how far is Concert Tour going to win by? And then not only did he not win the race and Asmussen's horse won, but Caddo River came back and beat him for second, which was, a little concerning.
Alarming, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, I saw him galloping out on the track this morning, and he looked okay.
He's looked good all week.
You know, Bob said he's going to aim him for the Preakness, and we'll see. I was as shocked as everyone else did. When Rosario cruised up coming around the turn at Oaklawn, I thought, okay, he's going to come down there and win, and that's going to be the one horse that everyone's going to be aiming for on May 1st. And then 30 seconds later, not only was he not the horse everyone was aiming for on May 1st, but he wasn't running on May 1st. So, welcome to horse racing.
Exactly.
I mean, just when you think you got it figured out, they will come and slap you down.
The three preps on the first Saturday in April, the Wood, you ended up with a very different outcome there with the Todd Pletcher pair, and it does seem going forward that everybody prefers the runner-up of the two Pletchers. It seems that everybody prefers Dynamic One as the one you wanted coming out of that race versus Bourbonic. The Bluegrass obviously is going to be closely scrutinized and given the Derby favorite and essential quality, and you already talked about Santa Anita. What about the Bluegrass and the Wood?
It's tough for me to like the Wood. It's tough for me to like this year's Wood. I mean, with all due respect to Todd, and I think he's great, but it's tough for me to respect this year's Wood. The Bluegrass, I think there were two good horses come down there. It was a pretty hard race on the horses. It was a pretty hard race on the horses. I mean, I think, in a perfect world, Brad and Chad would, have liked to seen it not have been such a taxing race. But, if they're good horses, they should be able to come back and bounce from that. I mean, it was, essential quality would be the favorite, and rightfully so. But with all due respect to him, do I feel like he's like Justify was in his year or American Pharoah was in his year? Probably not. No. Probably not.
That seems to be the predominant view. Nobody has a distinct knock against him, but
they're not pointing to the fence like Babe Ruth either. they're not.
Yeah.
So I mean,
The greatest. That means we have to swing around to Florida and Louisiana and even Tampa. And obviously the Florida Derby, has been a pivotal and important prep for this for a long time, even before the 5 weeks. But the move to the 5 weeks seems like it's been a real sweet spot, the 35 days out.
I mean, it used to be, trainers are spacing their races more and more. And I mean, I'm sure it's become a subject of frustration with racing secretaries around the country. But even their non-stake horses, trainers just like to have more time between races than they used to. And, there's reasons for it and stuff. But, I think, the Arkansas, the Louisiana race with Hot Rod Charlie winning, the kind of, more than anything else, it validated that California is still pretty strong this year. It was strange that, I know I bet on him, and it was great ride by Rosario. I was strange that he went, shocked that he went wire to wire, but he did. He's not going to go wire to wire in the Derby, but he could still win the race, obviously.
What do you do about Mandaloon out of this? Here was another horse that was moving inexorably toward, being anointed as a major Derby player. He lays an egg, and yet now, weeks later, from a physical standpoint, he's a picture. He seems to remind a little bit, under the circumstances, of the War of Wills story from 2 years ago.
A little bit. I mean, War of Will was by Warfront. This horse is by Into Mischief, two world-class stallions. I don't know about the mile and a quarter with Mandaloon. I mean, he's coming in off of a subpar race, and I'm not sure about the mile and a quarter. He's a gorgeous horse.
Yes, he is.
He's in the right barn and everything, but I'm not dead sure about the mile and a quarter. I mean, there's two question marks I have with him, the mile and a quarter and his last race.
Those would be two significant questions.
Yeah, but I mean, look, on the bright side, if you like him, you're going to get about 12-1 or 15-1. So go on with it.
Well, and that's there is this wide berth of horses that feel like they're beyond the 3-4 favorites. There's this wide berth of 12-20-1 shots.
Yes. There's about six horses that are going to be less than 10-1, and there's probably going to be about 14 horses that there might not be many 12 or 15-1 shots. There's the horses under 10-1, and then there's the horses
16-18 and
yes,
over.
Yes.
Interesting. Yes. We're gonna talk that a little bit with Nick Tamaro in hour three. We started to talk about Florida, and of course, Greatest Honor, another one that's left by the side of the road, that was moving toward, and being anointed as a Derby principal. Feel terrible for Donna Adam and Shug, but here's Known Agenda, who does seem to have that, that fairly pristine scenario of getting right at the right time. Address him and Soup and Sandwich, who was ridden to make the Derby. This is a horse that Cassie's been sky high on, and he makes a very nice impression out there. Worked nicely again today. Talk about the Florida Derby exiters.
Obviously the Blinkers made a huge difference on Known Agenda. I mean, he was just treading water more or less, and they put the Blinkers on him, and he crushed one other than Anfield. That then he came back and did it in the Florida Derby. His workouts—he seems like just an okay workhorse. He doesn't really wow you in the morning. He worked this morning and it was okay. But what he's done since the Blinkers have been put on make him a definite. Top contender in the race, whether, we're going to find out if the Florida Derby, how good a race it was. Cassie's horse ran okay. Shug's horse by soiling the bed in that race, Shug's horse makes you wonder, once he did that, how good a race was it? But we're going to find out. We're going to find out. I mean, I don't think it was, you know, like a race that you can take a stand against the whole race like I and some other people will on the Wood Memorial. But, you know, it wasn't a, God, I can't wait to bet every horse coming out of the race type of race either.
So essentially, and I haven't asked about Tampa or the Jeff Ruby, where you've got, you know, two Ruby horses and you've got Helium taking this unorthodox approach. Although I will remind people that want to believe in Helium, Danza came here off this gambit and ran very well.
Yeah.
It should be noted.
Oh, you had a ton of trouble that
day. Absolutely.
He got sideswiped leaving there. I mean, and there's, it's going to happen this year. I mean, when, you know, there's three or four horses that just get plowed into or something in a 20 horse field. But, you know, I mean, Helium looked okay in his work. I'm probably going to take a stand against him. And, you know, he's, you know, it's like one of the, I firmly think it's coming from one of the six horses that are going to be in the 10 to 1 or below group. I just don't know which one it is.
Well, then all right, so we'll anoint those then, the big six, the Christy Mathewsons.
Yeah.
It's the Christies.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. Medina Spirit, Rock Your World, Known Agenda, Hot Rod Charlie, Essential Quality, Highly Motivated.
Yeah, that'd be it. I mean, if someone, and I don't think I'd be the only one, but I think if you said to a bunch of handicappers, name this tune in six notes, that would be the six notes that they'd put up with. That's who they'd put up with. You know, and there's been, you know, for years we had favorites winning every Derby, and then last year it wasn't a favorite, but it certainly wasn't
an unknown.
No, it certainly wasn't like people were reaching for their program as he crossed the wire. Like, who was that? No, they knew who it was.
Chip Woolley?
Right.
Oh, Bob Baffert. Okay.
Yeah. So it's going to be an interesting week. I guess the weather's supposed to be okay.
Yeah, we should. I think we're going to get, we had our snow. We're going to have our rain, it seems, tomorrow night or tomorrow afternoon. Although I checked earlier, it actually has gotten, the forecast has gotten better for tomorrow. If there's, you know, I ask you this every year, if we're looking when the ticket building comes, and you've only been here today, so you've got days and days of, you know, of watching these horses out of their works and plus the late arrivers that'll be showing up by Tuesday. But is there a late running type? You know, we've been talking about Obisos and Hidden Stash. Dynamic One, I think, is going to end up being a part of this conversation. But when we go looking for a price to invade the
Dynamic
Super.
Dynamic One worked okay, but let me I don't really think there's an Animal Kingdom lurking this year, but maybe if I, you know, let me watch them gallop and see who seems like they're thriving this week. Maybe later on in the week, and I can come with a long shot for the trifectors or super.
Yeah, that's what we'll do. And you know, there's those, the factors that you can include in that is the horses that have proven that they like this surface.
Yeah,
that enters into it. Plus we've got some late decisions from Peter Miller's waiting for tomorrow for, you know, you would think, you know, that you know, Gary Barber loves to run in not just big spots. He likes to run in 25 claimers. They're looking at the workout tomorrow to make a decision. And what do you think Urton's going to do and Dream Shake? Where does he belong, in this race or in the Pat Day Mile?
I think he's more of a miler than a mile and a quarter horse. I do. I think he's a really nice horse. I mean, I ran against him a couple times with Medina, and I mean, he's a very nice, well-balanced horse, but he kind of looks like maybe more of a miler than a mile and a quarter horse.
And it seems like they're leaning that way. And of course, that would potentially get Hosier in, which is a bit of a mystery that they're reconsidering him after that Louisiana Derby or the Arkansas Derby miscue. Okay, well, then that would, this scenario then gets King Fury in for McPeak.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, come on in. The water's fine.
What about the Phillies? A quick survey.
Chad's Philly worked good today. I think she's a legitimate.
Against Dunbar Road, no less. I mean, Chad's not afraid to challenge him in the morning.
No, I mean, no. He didn't put any sacrificial lambs up for her. No, she worked good, and that would, you're probably not going to need a wheelbarrow to take all the money you make gambling on her out of the racetrack that day, but she worked like a solid favorite this morning.
Well, and Malathat out there, the kind of an Amazon type in this group.
If you ask it to name the race on two notes, that would be the two notes that just about everybody's going to use. And, it's kind of fitting that you got the two titans of Eastern racing, Todd and Chad, battling it out in that race.
Yeah, and the two Aspen, you got the Aspensons and the Brad Coxes, and it's a nice cast.
But if you had to name it on two notes,
there it is. I'm sure people will squirrel that away. Everybody looks forward to conversations with Gary Young. What's your plan? You going to work out? You got your workout?
My head hit the pillow last night from Ocala. I got to bed at 1 o'clock. And I was up this morning at 5, so I'm going to have a very long conversation with my pillow when I get home.
The one and only, the great Gary Young. Gary Young, Thoroughbreds, everybody. We'll hear from Gary middle of next week with some final thoughts, and it is just always a pleasure. One of the top, if not the top, right there. On the Mount Rushmore. How about that? How about that trite-ism? On the Mount Rushmore of Bloodstock Eyes. And horse buyers. Pretty funny. The Princess Noor for $1.3 million and Medina Spirit for $35,000. Let's take a break. Probably the only break of the morning, Case. Let's take a break here. We'll come back. James Scully's going to join us. We'll dive into the handicapping conversations. We've got Hammer later from Oaklawn as well. Ed DeRosa, EJXD2. We'll cap with Ed, Nick Tamaro, and Brian Sanfratello later. Little Pennsylvania promotion. We'll also slip in, so I can cross things off the be sure to mention list. Turf Paradise today has got a nice stake card. They've got, I think, five stakes. Five stakes, including a $50,000 feature. Goes as the seven. So, Turf Paradise. Talked a little tiny bit of Arizona with Matt Hegarty the other morning. Yeah, I wanted to slip that in. You're going to hear about Golden Gate and Pimlico today, too. Golden Gate's got an excellent card. You got the SF Mile and Cal Derby and Cal Oaks and more. The Lost in the Fog. We love Lost in the Fog. And you got the Tessio Weber City Miss as well to discuss, and all the other stakes at Pimlico. Hi-ho! Back after this, James Scully joins us. Twin Spires weekend preview at the races.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Bleeder Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Oh,
Porschebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Porschebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Porschebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Porschebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
There's a great story to tell in Pennsylvania. Only three states have produced more Breeders' Cup champions, and no state can match our performance in recent years. Since 2016, our numbers of mares bred has skyrocketed, unlike the national trend. And this year's live foal report shows Pennsylvania up over 50%. Why? Our incentives and bonuses are the best in North America. Please visit us at pabred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Sirius XM Sports.